wait a minute, wait a turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it though. I hope you got in tune. He talking bigger business, he make a lot of moves.
I'm your host Scott Catoon, and this is TechNori Live from WGN, where Chicago's top tech founders and entrepreneurs come to share their story. Joining me on this next grand episode of TechNori Live, Corey Warfield, founder of Shedwool. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Scott.
Of course. I love the play on the name Shedwool.
Thank you.
I also did not know until you just said it a minute ago off air that you used to be a rapper.
I did.
Can you please enlighten us a little bit with this?
Absolutely. So in the...
Feel free to rap poetry if you feel the urge to just start.
Well, you know what? I want to talk more about bootstrapping the company, this and that, only because I'm better at it anymore. But if we have a few minutes at the end, I'll absolutely bust into a little verse. Man, the 90s Source magazine had me as a Source Unsigned Hype talent. I opened up for De La Soul. I was kind of the freestyle rapper, but I still have some songs around. Yeah, I have a lot of fun. I still play in a band that I rap for.
That's awesome. What band?
We're called No Worries with a K-N-O-W-A-R-I-E-S.
So and where do you guys play at?
Last show was at the Double Door, which is...
So yeah, you guys are doing like bars and cool places around here. That's awesome.
Thing.
Very cool.
Thank you.
Well, that's not the only thing you do, obviously. Shedwool is an interesting... Is it an app? How do I actually use it?
Absolutely. So we're cross-platform. We have our web app, we have our iOS and Android apps, and typically you find that the administrators and managers benefit from the real estate on the computer. You can do more of the media uploads and things of that nature, drag and drop to make a quicker schedule, and then employees always connect either through the iOS or Android.
I was going to say, yes. Yeah, so you've got the sort of the admin who's taking care of business on the computer side, and then people could just actually apply and use it. I thought it was interesting because, well, one, the play on the word schedule was something that, for me, you know, we're talking about this as helps sort of dozens of different industries from what it says, right? And you're talking to people who are from contractors to shift workers and teams and things. So it's not like the app you would use for, like, say, me and you saying, let's go get coffee.
Correct.
I mean, you could, I guess. But,
absolutely.
Like, what was the impetus for you wanting to create a different style scheduling app? Because, or I should just say scheduling tool at this point. Because the funniest thing that I have found in however many years now it's been that I've been listening to founders come and pitch, we've got a ton of scheduling tools. And I'm always like, do we not have enough scheduling tools? And then the reality is once they pitch, I'm like, yeah, it totally makes sense. Because I would not know that like this scheduling tool just simply doesn't work for any industry. Like it's just, there's very niche things. Like we've had, I'm forgetting the name of the tool. It's a group out of Milwaukee. They built a scheduling tool for construction workers. And I believe that they use it for a lot of the people in Milwaukee, their construction crews. But the gist of essentially is that, like, how would you possibly know what you would need on site today, what's provided, what's there? Like, there's just, you don't have a place to check in real time. And I was, like, totally blown away that was a thing, and yet there it is. So very interesting. Tell me more about how Shedwool actually works and who your target is.
Sure. So, and that's an interesting use case. I know that company. Their name's going to pop into me. I'm going to have a Tourette's moment soon. I'm going to blurt it out. But effectively, we were born out of the hospitality industry. I spent about 20 years of my life. I actually started at the Allen Center at Northwestern. I think have some experience there as well. And that was like 20 years ago. But so my whole career, I would have just stayed in restaurants forever. And I was at a prime steakhouse a few blocks from here. I helped open them. I was there for 6 years. We got bought by a big corporation. And literally the first day, price on everything went up a buck. Portion size went down. Next week, and we saw
Was it Darden by chance that bought
them? No, it was another one.
It sounds like a Darden move. That's why I said quality goes down immediately. Price goes up almost immediately.
And you're absolutely right. But we saw the handwriting on the wall, and literally the next week they took away our scheduling app, and we found out how much it cost, and we were blown away. We powwowed. We came back to them. We said, we'll pay for this out of our pocket. It's a little pricey, but you know, collectively it's not going to be too much, and we need this solution, so problem solved. And they ran it up the chain of command, and they came back and said, no, they don't want it on the balance sheet.
Wow.
They said they don't necessarily care where the dollars come from. They don't want to show this expense. They want to show a lean operation, so figure something out. I kind of took it upon myself. I put together a Facebook group page. We had 100 employees. It didn't work. I put together a Google Sheets. I'm like, everybody can contribute. This would be amazing. Didn't work
never,
at all.
Yeah, people never follow up.
I mean, yeah, it got so confusing, and someone accidentally messed your cell up, and you didn't know you were supposed to work. I mean, and literally the second day I tried it, it was very...
See, ugly. I would be that worker who would purposely do that. Like, I'd be running like, oh, yeah, I don't want to work today. I'm like hammered right now. This isn't going to work. Just go type in someone else's name and say they screwed it up.
That's awesome. But yeah, so it's...
it's awesome that I'm unethical as could be.
Yeah.
it's makes it for fun.
Push back a little bit, but So I literally looked for a better solution that didn't cost as much, that maybe the company would approve. And I found there weren't any 2 years ago. So I put together a team, put together an MVP, kind of tried to teach myself to code. That was a big fail. Found a technical co-founder who's a lot smarter than I am. And we literally just started putting in the 100 hours a week. I got into an accelerator about 6 months in. So we were about to ship our MVP. And I went full time with this just about a year and a half ago. And we got a bunch of users. We got a bunch of testimonials. We started figuring out how to optimize for different use cases. But being a 20-year restaurant veteran, all I knew was that use case, right? Free shifts that need to get picked up, request time off, communicate with your manager. Super simple, things that from the hospitality industry make sense.
Yeah.
Then we had a police department and a hospital download us. And they're like, oh, my God, we love this. And at the time, we were completely free, so it made a lot of sense from a budget standpoint. They're like, we love this, but we need it to do this, or we need it to do this. And because I think we were just so green and so crazy as entrepreneurs, we just started saying yes to everything at first. So now we're about to ship a feature where you can put sites in addition to locations. And that's something that Comcast wanted for their banquet department. We're working with some home healthcare companies as well. And we have a gentleman, a veteran in Florida. He's a quadriplegic. He has seven volunteers to take care of him around the clock. So we've literally started having shifts that correspond to tasks that they would need to help take care of a paraplegic. And all these different use cases that we were just so green that we said yes to. And now it's kind of built this really holistic platform where I don't know of a competitor that can be used by every industry like we can be. And we're uploading some really cool new features this week that we're shipping, and we're going cross-platform. So we're working with Comcast. They have so many use cases that we're going to solve for, and that's really, I think, helping us polish the platform. But today, we love it. We're the third result for employee scheduling on the Google Play Store, top 20 on the iOS Store, and we bootstrapped the entire company to point.
The crazy part is you were mentioning that these guys will all call and say, like, hey, I've got some use cases I would like to try this on. Can you make these fixes? And yet, they always are still stingy when it comes to paying for the service. Like, oh, yeah, could you build this specifically for me? What's the paywall? What's that? I'm not paying for this. How do you guys monetize now or in the future?
So we were completely free last year, and it was really cool. The month after we launched, a company came from Europe called Sling. They were also free. So we went from being the first free platform in the States to having a competitor within a month. Several months later, Microsoft and Facebook both tried a free employee scheduling platform, and they failed. Microsoft, you had to be a subscriber of 365.
Of course.
Right? You totally get this. I love it. I guess it's the hundreds of companies you speak with.
But. Oh, well, yeah. With Microsoft and stuff, and then the Facebook, that's a whole other story.
Yeah, they bought a company called Band, which was amazing for musicians to find each other and jam, but they didn't rebrand it, didn't rename it. People didn't know what the use case was, so they pulled it pretty quickly.
I always wonder with them, and lots of these acquisitions, they'll pick it up, and it's like they just throw it out there and think like, people will show us what they want, and we'll rebuild it, and then we'll make a ton of money. I'm always baffled by some of the niche acquisitions. When you see, especially in this space, because it's like you're a social network and you do what you do, which is apparently give away your data for free. Well, not for free, for billions. But when you acquire something like Band and you put it out there and just expect that people are, I guess they thought that people would do what they did with you, which is to say, hey, love your tool. Can you make it more customizable for us? And that just never happened.
Possibly, yeah. It went away pretty quickly. But then we saw a couple other competitors in our space change their model to being free. So we knew we were on something. We were ad-supported at the time. That didn't generate a lot of revenue. Yeah. Obviously, investors run the other way from that. So we kind of found ourselves spinning our wheels, and I had to reevaluate. I needed more team. Didn't have the runway to necessarily go out and hire. I'd blown through my savings. So I said, I guess we have to start charging. So we literally reached out to all our users and said, listen, I know this is a free platform. We will honor that and keep a free version for you. However, we're going to start releasing more and more features. It'll be in our premium version. We're going to offer a price that's competitively lower than anyone else in the space, and we would love to keep you on board. So there were some users that we offered 25% off to. There were some users that literally just said, oh, cool. I was wondering when you were going to start charging me. We love the product.
It tells you how much they enjoy the product.
Absolutely.
And how useful it is. That's it's fascinating because that so rarely is the case. Usually there's pushback immediately like, oh, how dare you or whatever. And it's like, nothing's free in this world.
Yeah. And that was, as a first-time founder, it was really kind of eye-opening. And the first few people that were like, cool, we'll pay for it, was so affirming. And then I just kicked myself in the butt. Like, why didn't I do this 6 months ago?
Well, but I think if you would have started with it like that, people would have come on with different expectations.
I think you're right.
So, if you come on and you're like, this is great, what a cool tool, imagine if it had this, and then I write you and you make this happen, it's like, wow, what a responsive, tool. And then I charge you for it, well, this is really a tool that, I use every day, and it has changed the way we run our business. I'm not going to leave it. Like, I really can't afford to let this go, and I don't want to try something new because it's probably not as good. It's free. And so they, you know, I think you probably end up getting a lot of users that, you know, may not have done it. They may have just not even tried it.
Yeah, we have a couple international companies right now that have put together kind of some prospectuses, and they're convinced they'll save 6 figures to 7 figures a year using us company-wide. So I think that we finally figured that out. Good price point, good feature set. We've now grown our team so we can support kind of the scale at any level, from customer support to bandwidth. And so, yeah, we're all of a sudden having fun. We did over $1,000 in recurring revenue our first week. So nice. I think that's proof positive that we're onto something.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's also interesting. So, like, for your setup, it's everything is branded Shedwell, and it's sort of, you know, like, it's not white labeled. These aren't things that, like, these, like, Comcast wouldn't white label it. They would just use Shedwell, and you just have certain features that sort of like Salesforce, like just certain features that activate or don't activate. You pay for it or don't pay for it.
Yep.
Very interesting. What would you say has been the biggest struggle as a first time founder getting in this? Like, what's the thing that you are just like, I didn't expect that? Like,
Fundraising. It was such a nightmare. I spent so much time on our deck and on flying to New York and out west and just pitching and having so many people scared to say yes or no. And when I finally decided to stop focusing on fundraising and to start generating revenue, we literally were revenue positive the next week, pretty much. It was phenomenal.
Recommendation to every founder: do not start your company unless you've done this before and you've got contacts that, like, will help you kind of support the front end of it. Go out and sell the product. Just make some money. And you don't have to, you know, like, just because you started with that revenue model doesn't mean it has to stay that way. Like, you can find another way once you've, you know, got users. You did advertising, wasn't ideal, but maybe it gets you started.
Totally. And not to put them on the spot, but we are meeting with ShiftGig next week to do temporary shift fulfillment potentially through our platform, which we think is huge.
Yeah, we love ShiftGig. And they, I mean, they've been on the show here. Eddie Liu was before he stepped out there. Now they got the new CEO in place.
Wade Burgess.
Yep, Wade.
Yeah, and I'm on the board of a video game company that's making training programs. So what we're really looking to do is we're looking to use scheduling as a cornerstone to help people fulfill temporary shifts, to fill executive shifts. I have a lady on our board that's what she does. She's a recruiter. She's always looking to place top talent with positions. So our restaurant clients will be able to hire a dishwasher on a busy Saturday night, or a CFO if they're looking to replace somebody. Their new hires can come and use our video game platform to learn maybe where the ice and the cups go, what the table numbers are. So some kind of lightweight things that are really intended to keep saving businesses more and more time.
Bring value. Just keep bringing value so they want to keep working with you. You are like the modern renaissance man. You got the video games, you got the rap and start a company, like, on the board. It's all good. Very cool. What is sort of your, where do you see the next challenge, next opportunity with this?
So I think that the ShiftGig thing, if it works, it'll be amazing. If not, we're going to have to hit the streets and find a temporary workforce, at least here in Chicago, and scale that up. That's always been the idea, is to empower businesses and managers to schedule their staff, save time, however, also let people make more money. We're helping companies stay compliant, but now that people are having a harder time getting overtime, if they're qualified to work a job and 40 hours is where they're capped at their other employer, if they can go do what they do for a living, make an extra day's pay for their family, extrapolate that over a week, we think that we can really help change some cities.
Very cool. This is very interesting. Where do people go to download Shedwell and learn more about it?
So we're on both app stores. Just type in employee scheduling or Shedwell. We always wake up and see where we are on those lists. But,
of course.
If people want to just go straight to it, and type in Shedwell, Shedwell. We're also live on the web, Shedwell.com, and we're across all social media platforms.
Very cool. Awesome. Corey, thank you so much.
Scott, thanks for having me.
Of course. You can catch this episode and more at technori.com. Download the podcast on iTunes. Stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori, or you can follow me at Katoon. Boom. That's a wrap.